new rock stars. Yeah. I'm Philip Molina. This is Rogue Theory. We are going to talk about some bull stuff going on with Sony and Marvel and why the next Spider-Man film, apparently it's going to be called Broken Home, because they are ruining children's lives.
Or adult who feel like children ruining our lives.
It's most adults nowadays,
kids,
I suppose.
Know the difference.
Speaking of adult children, Eric Voss is here.
Hi. Hey. I have the mind of a 12-year-old, and I'm not ashamed.
And I'm not afraid to share. Matt Beebe?
Yes.
Local actor, but actually I believe the endeavor is to not be local in your acting.
Eventually. That's the hope. Yeah.
Exactly.
Residential.
And then James Al McCune, old friend, producer, also actor, star of things that I've watched.
You sold that. I believe you.
Yeah, well, if I'm not specific, you'll never know whether
That's
or not
true.
I saw those things. Guys, reminder. And I'm Philip Molina, by the way. Reminder. Also, you can listen to this show on the Rogue Theory podcast feed. It comes out way earlier than the video version, so make sure to go subscribe to that wherever you get your podcasts. But on this episode, we have Rogue Theories about a couple things and an interesting sequel that is for The Matrix, which is crazy that they're bringing that back. But yeah, mostly we just want to talk about Spider-Man in the MCU or not apparently in the MCU anymore, and also what that means for MCU characters, also what it means for future Spider-Man movies. Also, is Tom Holland on unemployment now? Like, exactly what are the ramifications of this thing? So actually, Eric just had a video talking all about this, so just catch us up, Eric, on just the facts of it.
Okay, here's what we know. Deadline earlier this week released this story that was exclusive. So someone gave this to Deadline who had insider information.
Which is why it feels like it's, you know, just one person could be pulling some sort of
power move. We'll talk about what this could mean. But essentially, after Far From Home crossed $1 billion, Disney and Marvel / Disney and Sony were in renegotiations for what a third Spider-Man movie would be and what the future of the character would be. Originally, the plan was to extend this deal where they share the character by two more movies, presumably a third Spider-Man solo film that had Spider-Man in the title, and then maybe another Marvel crossover film for Phase 4 or beyond. And what Disney proposed, they wanted to go to the table with Sony and say, you have a couple other characters that you have a Morbius, the living vampire character, you have another Venom movie. We want to help you co-distribute those movies. Previously, they had 5% stake in financing and whatever box office total that brings in, plus all the merchandise. Merchandising for the Spider-Man character. And now Feige / Disney, whoever was in those negotiations, wanted 50% of co-financing and 50%. So going up from 5% to 50%. Sony flat out refused.
Willing the co-financing thing, willing to pay, essentially, to make the movie.
And that includes presumably marketing, all the money that goes into it, but also all the profits. Sony said no. And they walked away from that, or they said no to that. And then, depending on who you talk to, it sounds like Feige said, well, I don't want a part of this. And that's where we're at right now. But the fact that this was given to Deadline means that presumably someone in that room or with details of that releases to the press for a reason, probably with an agenda to force one side back to the negotiation table or to paint the other side as a villain in this conflict to create things like what we're having right now, this conversation over who's to blame.
Right. Well, and then letting social media kind of hash it out and decide what needs to be done. Right. And then conveniently it'll work out. That's actually how the Sony deal with Spider-Man happened in the first place.
Right.
Is that it was so clear that I think Civil War was on the slate. So I was like, man, it'd be really fun if they could get Spider-Man. And then there's just this social media
Well, it was leaked. That was when they...
No, before it was... That was the Amy Pascal emails. But before that, there was the energy of, like, it needs to happen. And then social media, it feels like, acquired the rights or something. You know what I mean? Like, they, like, forced that to happen.
Well, Ryan Reynolds forced Deadpool to happen using social media.
Which was
media
also
leaks,
kind of a little bit of a BS leak, too.
Right.
Right? Because that animatic...
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The Amy Pascal leak is the only leak that I believe was real in the last
because
10 years.
There's a foreign government involved.
Like, that's the only thing that was actually privileged information that shouldn't have gotten out. Yeah.
So we do want to get into our rogue theories about what this could mean for the characters, and that's kind of a lot of what we do on here. Though I do want to acknowledge, rogue theory that came true, an old rogue theory I had way back in the days of New Rockstars News, I think it was, when we were talking about James Gunn getting kicked off of Guardians. And then the way that all played out, we talked about on the show, we're like, it feels like it's being designed in a certain way for the general public to get outraged, demand that he get brought back, and then they'll rehire him. And then it'll be like, well, we did what we had to do. We fired the guy for the bad things. But then the public said we had to bring him back. And then that exactly played out. It kind of feels like we're getting a little bit of, there's my rogue theory, we're getting a little bit of a repeat of that idea where they're like, hey, you know, isn't everyone outraged? I guess a 30-70 deal doesn't sound so bad, does it, Kevin Feige? Or something. You know, I feel like it's those kind of manipulations happening.
I think we're all on the side. Anyone who's a fan of Spider-Man is just on the side of good Spider-Man movies. And lately, the best Spider-Man movies in all of our recent memory are the Tom Holland one through Civil War, through Homecoming, through Infinity War and Endgame, and through Far From Home. So we kind of want to extend that. But I think, I mean, going into our rogue theory, we have to acknowledge that despite the MCU version of Spider-Man being our recent favorite, Sony can totally have their own Spider-Verse independent of the MCU and have versions of those movies that we really like and could be better than what we know of Marvel Phase 4 right now. That might be an unpopular opinion, but...
Well, it's not. Everyone is saying Into the Spider-Verse, right? They're like, yeah, I guess Sony knows what they're doing a little bit with this thing. So let's actually, you know, for a second, kind of pretend like this isn't the worst news we've had in a long time. Because they don't have Iron Man, they don't have Captain America, and they don't have Spider-Man, just saying. But let's pretend that our lives aren't ruined. And I just want to know, okay, well, what if Sony doesn't ruin this, and they do specifically keep Tom Holland? What does that mean for a Spider-Verse potentially that takes place over at Sony? I want to hear what you guys think those movies are going to be like. Are they going to be any good? What are they going to be about? Sony has, I think, 900 Spider-Man characters or something. What are your pitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the success of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse that they could go back into the multiverse. And then Spider-Man can have all of his spider compatriots as his allies. And then, like you said, they have a bunch of villains as well.
Interesting. Would you say they would leave the MCU that way? I fell through a
portal. It's a good way to explain it, right? Because suddenly the Avengers are gone, and Tony Stark is gone, and it explains it, right? Oh, they don't exist in this universe. Problem solved.
Or is it the same Tom Holland Spider-Man, or is it like this dimension's Tom Holland Spider-Man?
I think they'd be crazy to get rid of Tom Holland.
Yeah. But they're both Tom Holland, just is one, our MCU one. And like his other alternate dimension version of him, or are you imagining the one we know is the one that travels to another dimension?
I think he's the one who travels to another dimension, and the Avengers aren't there, and so maybe they just tightly wrap it up quickly, and then
he also
move
chooses
on.
Not to talk about it very much,
right?
And never say any of those characters'
names
again.
I think that's the key, because the moment you bring up the blip or the snap, those are properties of the MCU. I think it's kind of just like the Peter Parker, Tom Holland we've known, who just never talks about his old friends ever again, and his suit is not the Iron Spider; it's a new one that he kind of makes on his own. Like, they're gonna have to find some kind of legalese scripting.
Well, with the Venom situation, they could very easily just give him the Venom suit. And
The symbiote, you mean?
Yeah, the symbiote. And I think that'd be a great opportunity to mix in like Carnage. If they're to do like a Carnage Venom movie to start introducing Tom Holland's Spider-Man into it, he could very easily be like, I don't know, have a very convenient case of amnesia and need to like remember who he is or something, but the symbiote would remember how he, because I didn't really see Venom. Was it still inspired by Spider-Man, or was
it was this weird thing where it was completely a Venom storyline with Eddie Brock, and it still followed a lot of the same rules. The symbiote came from the same place. There's still references to Spider-Man. There just is, or to the Spider-Man universe.
Okay,
but Spider-Man is definitely not part of it. But going back in through Venom, I think, is definitely interesting. I know you felt like the tones are wrong.
Yeah, right now, like, the Tom Hardy version of Venom just feels so tonally different. Like, the reason Venom is a popular character is because he's derivative of Spider-Man. And I think that's one thing that Ruben Fleischer's Venom missed out on. It's not just that he's inky and black and kind of bad and a bit cannibalistic. It's because, like, it started as a black Spider-Man suit, and what would happen if a character who hated Peter Parker, was super envious of his career, what if something that used to be attached to Spider-Man feeds off that, and it turns into this a character with a life of his own? But I think that order of it is essential to Venom's origin and his story. So it felt like the Venom movie was missing that. So maybe we could retroactively go, I think that's a great idea. That would be probably, you know, Sony's best way
Buddy
forward.
Buddy Cop Venom Spider-Man
yeah.
movie.
That would be super cool. If they teamed up against Carnage, because Carnage is like my favorite of the Rogues Gallery for Spider-Man, because he's a maniac. He like takes everything that killer. Venom could do but doesn't.
Well, it's like the Joker got the symbiote or something, right?
Yes,
it's just like
so
like
killer
brain. Yeah.
So if then they introduce the Venom team up with Spider-Man to go after Carnage, that would be really interesting. And I would love to see like a really gritty, like Joker style Carnage movie where we kind of get this, because there's so much like adult stuff that could come from having a serial killer as a symbiote that we just won't see in the Marvel universe because it's just too dark.
Yeah, like they straight up, like he gets home and he's like, hey, where's Ned? And his skin is just like dangling somewhere or something.
Yeah,
like,
just get, like, super dark. Edging sort of symbiote, that would be rad.
Oh, and God. I know you say it's like kind of a tonal difference, but I mean, I think Tom Holland's growing up, Spider-Man's growing up, he's going to be out of high school soon, and so maybe you can, like, the Spider-Verse can grow up with Tom Holland a little bit.
And it's not like he doesn't have, like, adult things. Like, he's got trauma, like, real big trauma he's got to deal with, so, like, they could very easily fit that in, that tone.
Yeah, you let Tom Holland grow his beard out, and then he comes home one day.
Can he?
Well, then he CGI one on
him. Someone stopping him?
Yeah, get the guys who did Superman, took off Superman's mustache to put
maybe not them.
On. Yeah.
The corridor.
They've learned from their mistakes. They know what the, get the corridor crew guys to deep fake a beard onto Tom Holland. And yeah, he reacts to his friends getting skinned, mutilated, beheaded, turned into furniture, and now we got a good movie with Woody Harrelson fighting a little boy and also Tom Holland. Yeah.
Or Tom Holland, his Spider-Man, gets into this universe, completely snaps. He becomes a serial killer.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We get Carnage from him, and then Venom's out to
fight
him. Well,
what's stopping him from doing that right now? You're saying the actor Tom Holland, yes.
In real life, yeah.
I mean, he's an acrobat.
He would
serial
flip
killer
over
plus acrobat, unstoppable.
That'd be incredible.
Okay, my pitch, I do actually really like, I kind of like more than my thought on it, is the going in through Venom route. Interesting idea to throw him through a portal or something, which is, who knows how that would happen. Like, it's just like, hey, that sidewalk fell open or whatever, and then he goes through it, whatever it is. But yeah, he introduced him with a kind of buddy Venom movie or something. That'd be really interesting. I know you mentioned a like a Ragnarok kind of feel to that, which is also kind of fun. But for me, it's also like, well, Sony has the rights to all the classic Spider-Man villains, so they could really do, I mean, any of the Spider-Man stories that we know and really like are available at Sony, so as long as the right creative team behind them is there. So I still want to see, you know, a Hobgoblin story, I mean, obviously I think we have to do a Gwen Stacy introduction and story, and, you know, introduce Captain Stacy, and I think that all of those things can very much definitely distract from where we've Spider-Man in the MCU. Here's, it's not a critique, but it is a problem if the only movies we're ever going to get of Spider-Man in the MCU are these two movies, is that one of them was great, this feels like Spider-Man, and then immediately, like, every other reference to Spider-Man in Civil War and also in Infinity War and in Endgame, stealing Airstroke, they scale up so fast where he's, you know, he has to say, I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He has to, like, make that reference a lot because we don't know him to be that. We saw one movie where he kind of was grounded, and then he literally is in space for multiple movies. And it does feel a little bit like there's, it's almost hard to recover from that of now send him back in the neighborhood. But if you do go back to Sony and you don't make references to the fact that he went to space, you also do have him say maybe flat out, I need to get back to basics. I shouldn't be wearing a $1 billion suit that auto kills for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a genius myself. I was already working on a suit. I came up with these cool goggle things, right? Like, I'm going to make my own new suit. He's not really acknowledging that he can't say the Iron Spider suit and he can't say Iron Man. And he goes back to basics, and then we just put him on kind of our traditional path. But the key is, the only way it works is you have to keep the same creative people behind it. Even though Kevin Feige is clearly the puppet master that pulls the strings brilliantly, there are plenty of people that are not Kevin Feige that are doing a good job with this. And you know what? Even if it is people that guided Into the Spider-Verse, who guided that? Amy Pascal and Lauren Miller, but also somebody else at Sony made Venom not terrible. Yeah, Tom Rothman. Yeah,
and then you have Avi Arad, who's kind of guiding all these things as well, but... He's been there forever.
And well, and he, I don't want to bring him up actually. He's also done some stuff
that wasn't as good
movies.
Too.
Yeah. So essentially, I'm just saying, go back to basics. That's what you would call it, even, right? It's like Spider-Man back to basics.
I mean, that would be the easiest way forward, because if you just look at how Far From Home ended, even Kevin Feige said after that movie came out, what his ideas were for a third Spider-Man movie, and he just wanted to do a Peter story. He's like, he's becoming his own man. So he's almost giving Sony their way forward. And we've done plenty of videos explaining how there's enough there for a Sinister Six movie.
For sure.
Based off of clues that we've seen in Homecoming and Far From Home, there's enough like villains in that world to where all you need, it's just one strong leader, whether it's a Mysterio who's not actually dead, and then you just need his public counterpart, someone who's like J. Jonah Jameson, who's beating that drum and turning Spider-Man into a villain and making him vulnerable. Like, you're right. All they need is a creative team. They need Holland, and they need John Watts, I would say. They need their screenwriters who's been working with them and making those movies so funny. And I guess we'll have to see how much of a magic touch Kevin Feige had. But realistically, they could make a good Spider-Man 3 Sinister Six story, a Venom crossover story that does not all reference the MCU, as much as that would kind of break our hearts a little, because I think the promise of Spider-Man is his connections to the other Marvel heroes. They could do it.
Spider-Man is definitely the one that like shows up everywhere, right? Every character gets a Spider-Man time in. So that'd be the bummer for sure.
Yeah. Or like a version.
So much.
I apologize. Sorry, go on.
Oh.
No, there's different versions. There's so many versions. We were talking about Spider-Woman. I haven't read anything about her referenced, and her story is very independent from Peter Parker or, you know, any of the other versions of Spider-Man. Like, I wonder if we didn't know legally if they have the rights to Spider-Woman, but like,
yeah,
that would be a really interesting thing to tie in.
I'm going to assume that they do, honestly.
The name Spider's in the name.
Well, and they have 900 characters. I run out pretty quickly of the names I know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess, but you're thinking maybe find a different angle in for Spider people?
Right, yeah. I mean, especially with the idea that Spider-Verse began by showing every Spider-Man that you have seen exists within the same multiverse.
Right.
So, like, technically, even...
Yeah, didn't Tobey Maguire voice a Spider-Man in Spider-Verse?
No, it was Chris Pine and...
But no, I think
Oscar Isaac voiced Miguel O'Hara.
I mean, I might be totally making this up, but it sounds like real kind of trivia or whatever. There's a voice at some point you hear, and it's a Tobey Maguire voice or something like that.
That one surprised
John Mulaney as Spider-Ham.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Nicolas Cage.
I'm wrong about every aspect of it. Or maybe it is the fact that they show him dancing, but that actually is the other Spider-Man.
Well, they show all of the, like, from both Mark Webb's Spider-Man and Sam Raimi's.
Yeah.
Like, you see different vignettes from both those movies. So it's like, technically, hypothetically, every single universe we've seen is in this multiverse.
Right.
And so you could have like, the animated, you know, like, Spider-Verse portal open up, suck Tom Holland out.
That'd be great.
Into... the Venom universe, or into another totally separate universe that he has to find his way back. And maybe that could be like a whole metaphorical, like finding your way back to the Marvel universe thing.
I mean, weirdly, Spider-Man does have stories that sound a lot like that too.
Yeah. I mean, it could work with that.
I mean, the reason there is a Marvel multiverse is because, arguably, the Spider-Man character. They kept rebooting him in different other incarnations, and they're like, well, how do we justify all this? Okay, what if there's just a multiverse? And then they started to tie in other heroes into that multiverse, but like, Marvel Comics would not exist without the Spider-Man character. Like, he was the most popular thing that kept it alive through the decades where other properties weren't doing as well. So, like, the whole idea of the multiverse is a Spider-Man notion. So Sony has the leverage on its side. Like, as much as we're fans of the MCU, this is the best version of Spider-Man, in my opinion, that we've seen in live action. But, I mean, if Sony wanted to gain control of this narrative right now, all they would have to do is just get one of their graphics people to take their phase lineup and say, okay, here's going to be our next movies over the next 3 years. We're going to have a Spider-Man 3. We're going to have a Spider-Man and Venom story. We're going to have all the other symbiote stories. We're going to do a Harry Osborn story. We're going to do a live-action Miles Morales and a live-action Gwen Stacy. And we're going to end with a Sinister Six. And I'm like, God damn, that sounds a lot more exciting than Marvel's Phase 4.
Well, and also, Marvel can't do a lot of those stories even if they do keep Spider-Man, which is a real tough thing. Like, the character, they've done such a great job with that they can put him anywhere. It's kind of like Hulk, right? Where Hulk, they don't have the rights to give Hulk his own movie anymore. So they're just like, well, let's do a good job of putting that character everywhere else. They kind of did a better job with Spider-Man. Okay, I think we're all kind of on the same page about what Sony could do. I'm still mad at it.
Yeah.
I'm mad at it all.
Me too.
Mad at everyone. Yeah. But speaking of this mad thing, this is just me spitballing here. I feel like there is I'm getting a sense of this anger that's rising in the fandoms. Are people going to boycott a Sony Spider-Man movie?
I don't think it'll have an effect. Because the fact that people watched Venom in the numbers they did, mm-hmm. I don't think people are brand, they don't have brand loyalty.
$1 billion worldwide, I think, right?
Something
like 800, that. Yeah, 800 million. I don't think people have brand loyalty like that. I think people, your average consumer is just going because they like the idea of a thing, not because they care about mm-hmm. how it was made.
Well, how many people, even in our audience, are like, wait, which one was Sony? And,
right.
You know, which one's Disney? Like, keeping track of those rights is
I just learned about the Hulk today, that the Hulk and She-Hulk is with Universal. I had no idea that was a separate thing.
Yeah, weirdly with Dracula and Frankenstein, I think, and, yeah. and the
MonsterVerse.
Really?
Yeah, that's all Universal.
They're all Universal, wow. right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's wild.
I can't wait to see them together.
The people who are upset enough to threaten a boycott are like the biggest fans.
Yeah.
So they're not going to miss one of these movies. It's kind of a
or they might like torrent it. You know, like, they'll find other ways to bootleg watch it. You know,
so it's just going to be free press.
I'm not going to give it my money.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like I'm a scab or whatever it is that you'd say. Like I have to see it. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad if I didn't see it.
I mean, if it's good, people will see it. That's kind of the sad calculus of this. Like whether or not you are happy about this, if it's still a character that you love and they're doing it in a good way and you love that trailer, it's not going
to
stop
you. That's a good point to make. You know what took me years to see? Spider-Man 3. The Tobey Maguire one.
Yeah,
those reviews came out so quickly about how bad it was that I couldn't bring myself to see it. I was like, oh, it'll break my heart. So I guess if they make a really bad one.
Well, wasn't Spider-Man 3 the one where the plot was leaked by Ain't It Cool News? And then, like, early on, there was negative buzz about it.
Oh.
Am I wrong in that?
I
think
remember.
That
I
guy was like, they got Sandman in this one, and it doesn't really work.
You know what, though? Sandman, that, like, little thread had one of the best moments in superhero history with, like, him initially getting his powers. Like, that was a really beautifully done narratively.
Weird little short film.
Yes. It made me so mad for the rest of the movie because going back and seeing it recently, I was like, oh my God, if they had just focused on even just Sandman, which is the least interesting of all of those villains.
You saw this recently? Were you trying to watch Far From Home and you accidentally selected the wrong one?
I was like, no, I've just been pressing buttons all day.
This is pretty good.
No, it's just like it's a really well done moment. You can tell it had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's always something really interesting.
Well, that's one of the thesis behind New Rockstars is the idea that all these things are there's so much money behind them and so much quality talent behind them that there are artists working at the highest level that are ruining these movies. Like, and what I mean by that is that these people have the ability to make the most amazing thing you've ever seen, and then sometimes they just really don't. And so it doesn't surprise me that there's like a sequence that they really nail and then they ruin the rest of the movie.
Oh man, there's always something wonderful in something that's really frustrating. Because it's especially, I think Spider-Man 3 wasn't, I mean, it's not my favorite movie to say the least, but like it's certainly had it had no reason to fail. And it just like from an audience perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what made everybody so upset was that it could and should have been great and it just wasn't. And so I think that this is why everyone's scared is because we have no reason for the next Spider-Man iteration to be bad from either camp. And if it is, that is they have every resource. And that's what people are scared about. It's like this could screw up what could be limitless potential. And that's what's frustrating me anyway. Like,
that's very true. Cause the one thing that you can say about Feige is he knows how to guarantee consistency.
Yes.
You know, so whether or not like every other movie studio that tries to do super adaptations, they have some great talent behind it, but somehow they screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Feige, even with like people who inexperienced directors can guarantee a solid B+ at least of a movie that still fits in with everything that doesn't, you know, scare people away. Even the first Thor, you had Kenneth Branagh, worked out.
I know that's a good example of one of the best working like filmmakers of all. They bring him in and it's like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, I don't think he knew.
I mean, what is the worst MCU movie? Right, Thor: Dark World.
Dark World, yeah,
yeah. Like, and even that movie,
I
would still
Dark
put up
World
a.
More than it's I like Thor 1 personally,
it's a C+, B- of a movie,
which is pretty good for the worst.
It's no fan four stick. It's you mm-hmm. know.
Every time you say that, I always hear Mr. Fan Four Stick, Semi Fan Tor Stick.
But I guess the question is now, where does this leave the MCU, right?
Yeah,
can the MCU survive this?
So don't segue yet, because we have a quick break to do.
I didn't know we were breaking now.
Yeah. Before we talk about where that leaves the MCU, let's give some shout outs to some people that have it coming. They might be us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Okay, we're back. And real quick, what if they got rid of Tom Holland and rebooted it again? How bad would that be?
I have an idea to usurp this. Okay, so Tom Holland's just objectively fantastic, right?
Yes, Mr. Fantastic.
So they can't have Spider-Man. Did they say they can't have Tom Holland?
No, they can have Tom Holland. Tom Holland signed the deal with Sony. Yeah,
so we'll Tom Holland anyways. Just shows up one day as a different character.
Oh, we would so support that, right?
Just a new guy who looks a whole lot like he who shall not be named legally. And at the end of it all, maybe there's some kind of like reality bending. I was trying to find like an X-Man who can shift perception of reality. There's a bunch of them.
Scarlet Witch can.
What I did find in my research though is that Marvel.
I love that you researched it.
Oh yeah, dude.
I was like Tom Holland
all week. I was like, how could you have somebody come in and like stir the pot?
Yeah.
And so
I can't wait till Tom Holland reads this email you send him.
Oh yeah, I sent him five. Please call me back, please. No, there's a number of X-Men entities like Phoenix and stuff that could really screw with reality, right? So like we have one of those that comes in. It could be the most powerful, quoted as the most powerful mutant, which was Santa Claus. That is a canon Marvel character.
I feel like I've heard that at some point.
Santa Claus is in the Marvel universe.
And Tom Holland looks just like Santa Claus.
Yeah, so that's where we're going.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you have somebody who is this chaotic neutral, right? Like he just does whatever he wants, but
Santa is chaotic neutral?
He just has this weird prerogative, right? Just giving presents to everybody.
Sure,
He has a good list and a naughty list. He's neutral.
He's judgmental.
Well, no, because we don't know what his end game is yet.
Yeah.
Why is he trying to get on our good side?
He's behind Big Cole.
What if Santa snaps, right, and decides to mix up reality? Suddenly Tom Holland's a new character and eventually has to work his way back into being Peter Parker. And everyone feels like something's wrong, but they don't know what yet.
Can't be Peter Parker, though.
Oh, well, yeah.
Amend. Amend.
But I do like that we worked in Santa Claus into another episode of Rogue Theory.
Isn't that wild?
We're trying to sees you when voice. You're sleepy that he knows when we're awake.
Wouldn't that be great if he just showed up as, like, the big bad next to the Silver Surfer or something? And he just, like, crushes the Silver Surfer like a Pepsi can.
He weighs down Silver Surfer's surfboard and can't fly with it. Santa's hanging from it. Yeah.
No, that would be... I was just trying to find some like way to like... Reality gets kind of confused, and then we have Tom Holland as somebody else, and he eventually becomes Peter Parker when the rights hopefully
I feel like the only way you can get rid of Tom Holland is if you're making Spider-Man Miles Morales now or Gwen Stacy. That's the only way I'm okay with it. I'm sure there's a lot of people who will not like that for other dumb reasons, but that's, I think, the only way you can justify it.
Spider-Man's a redneck, and he always will be.
Can you imagine Spider-Man out in the boonies?
Yeah. There's nothing to swing from.
Just webbing a gator's mouth shut.
Never higher than a tree.
So that's one awesome Rogue Theory on how the MCU could survive without technically having the rights to Spider-Man anymore.
Santa
they keep
Claus.
Tom Holland and Santa Claus puts him on his good boy list. Okay, how else is this going to affect not only the MCU, but how else could the MCU still thrive without, honestly, I mean, I muttered it earlier, but they don't have Iron Man, they don't have Captain America, and now they don't have Spider-Man. Well, we can worry about the other ones, but who can, and you jumped in my head really quick, who can take your breath away? Who can replace Spider-Man and fill that void?
I am so excited that Disney just got the X-Men back.
Mm-hmm.
So I want them to reboot the X-Men into the Marvel Universe. They can start them off young, because I love that like
Seven
young
Spider-Man.
Energy that Tom Holland brought to the MCU. But if they come back in and you have like young Xavier, you could have Archangel, you could have Iceman, like... anybody, just start them off young and they can be the sort of new young presence, like growing into the next generation of Marvel superheroes.
Yeah, you agreed. Were a big fan of Muppet Babies, yes?
Who wasn't, though?
That might have been before.
Oh, are you kidding me?
After my time? After my time.
Way after your time.
Yeah. I think they're all of our times.
Muppet Babies. They're still big now. What are you talking about? I'm just saying that idea of just like the very excited, like, ooh, anything, the young version, I'm sold.
I'm more excited about the X-Men in general and just getting a reboot.
X-Boys?
X-Children.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so who in the X-Men are you saying is like that's going to be our Spider-Man equivalent?
I think Archangel would be good. That'd be a fun one if you haven't seen him, really.
You need someone wacky, though, because like Spider-Man had this like sarcastic energy that's like very, you know, there's Deadpool, which is basically just Spider-Man if he were vulgar and a murderer. But yeah, you need someone with like quips, you know? Like Spider-Man's got this potential to be super funny and weird.
Morph.
Yeah, I think what they're like trying, I think something worth keeping in mind is, yeah, Spider-Man's a crown jewel. I'm sure Marvel hates to lose him, but like when you're watching a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, are you watching being like, oh God, why isn't Spider-Man in this? Or you're watching Black Panther. It's like, this is great. You don't need Spider-Man to be in everything. So why not just like build the universe out from what you already have? Like Shuri is an amazing character who is similar to Peter Parker in a lot of ways. He's hilarious, is young, is a genius engineer. Like, I wouldn't mind if she kind of becomes what Spider-Man currently was in Phase 3. She could become that new Phase 4 kid who's reacting as a kid does, who has like a reference base and is a bit smarter than the adults in some ways. Like, she could be that. She could be that role. You have characters like young Groot could be like the next like youth character of the Marvel Universe. You have the Eternals. The Eternals is going to have like some kids. I don't know how excited I am about the Eternals yet. They do have some plans in the works to have like that. We don't have to worry about, like, right now, is Johnny Storm going to be the new... I mean, Deadpool could be the new Spider-Man of the Marvel Universe. Like, they do have a way forward. It's just, like, Spider-Man just kind of has it all right there, and everyone knows who Spider-Man is. Personally, I would love if just Deadpool becomes what Spider-Man is. Either, like, the Ryan Reynolds version, or if they have some new, kind of younger incarnation of Deadpool in this.
I mean,
new
maybe
version.
If Deadpool goes back to high school or something. Yeah. Because I do think... One of the reasons I don't like Shuri filling that role is because, I mean, she's probably like a trillionaire. You know what I mean? She has access to...
She's a princess.
Yeah. She's a princess. She has access to everything. And so Peter Parker is brilliant. A little side route the MCU went with it is they made him seem real dumb. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he does
common
not...
Common sense. Misses out on common sense. Exactly. He's book smart, so...
There are some moments where he does some amazing science knowledge dropping, and you're like, oh, right. And that's the version of the MCU. And that totally worked for me, actually. He is, you know, in line with Star-Lord, right? And they have a very fun banter, too, right? The Robert Downey Jr. version of I'm smarter than everyone here, and I'm going, you know, 10 miles a minute or whatever, is fun for somebody else to do. But to me, that's what Spider-Man is. Mm-hmm. So I need it to be this youthful energy. But you were talking about this, or in general, we were talking about how the Russo brothers keep trying to ruin your life.
Oh, right.
And so they said that Nova
You still haven't found the Easter egg in Endgame.
Yeah, that Nova was an Easter egg at the end of Endgame. And they're like, just kidding, Eric. Yeah. He's not.
They talk directly
stop
to
looking.
Me. Everything they say is direct to me. Yeah, Nova would be great.
So Nova would be really interesting, because Nova, if you guys aren't familiar, is a high school kid, basically. Richard Rider, and they did set up that idea a little bit with he is so the Nova Corps, which we saw in the Guardians movie, has been wiped out by Thanos. We didn't see it happen. I don't
But we have to assume they're gone.
But they're all gone. So that happens in the creation of Nova. That's his origin. There's one last Nova Corps member. It could be the John C. Reilly character or something. that person essentially hands off that, you know, the mantle of the Nova or whatever to this high school kid. And then he's like super powerful and amazing, but he's also just a high school kid. And when he like tries to go back to school, he like missed too many years too, so he's kind of dumb. And then he ends up joining a bunch of other dumb kids too. Like, it's just all that energy that I used to think when I would read it, I'd be like, I don't know if this could be ever like pulled off in some epic way. But the MCU has pulled off dumb so well so many times now that it's actually more fun to be the dumb idiot than the genius in that world, at least.
Yeah, the nice thing about Nova, too, is he can go to space, and it seems like Marvel's spending more and more time up in space.
It almost is like they treated Spider-Man like he, you know, was Nova or something.
Yeah.
They can build their next universe cosmically. So they're bringing in characters like Adam Warlock, Silver Surfer. It's all taking place off-world. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where MCU should go. They should less worry about finding characters on-world, unless they're the X-Men, and see what else is out there in the universe.
I mean, they kind of have to, right? Because after Thanos, you have this, like, god-tier villain. You kind of have to go above that. And the intimate stories are, like, great, and I want more of that because I feel like I connect to it a lot more than these, like...
You mean, like, intimate?
Yeah, that would be fun. The whole, like, sexual
the universe. We pitched a number of times that the MCU needs to start jumping genres and do a couple things, doing a horror, doing a mystery or whatever.
Rom-com.
But let's do some late-night cinematics.
The integrated porn universe in the Marvel.
Super
sex MCU would be softcore. Really hot.
I mean, or it's just Vision playing every part.
Or dreadful. There's a lot of really messed up ideas. Within the Marvel Universe, that would lead to a very upsetting adult world. Like, just the old Jessica Jones thing was like, oh, that's messed up. Like, that potential is really, really freaky. So, like, it could get way worse than that down the road. Yeah, especially with the Hulk. How's that work?
Very well.
Well.
Just don't get in a lover's quarrel.
The second we introduce She-Hulk, which has to happen at some point, they have to address that they're going to be destroying more than buildings.
Each other's hearts.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I'm going to double down on this Deadpool idea being the new Spider-Man, because we know that when Deadpool loses a limb, it regenerates as a baby limb, baby legs, baby arms. What if he gets destroyed, regenerates as a baby, and we deepfake Ryan Reynolds' face on a teenage body, that is our new Spider-Man?
I regret teaching you what a deepfake is. It's your solution to everything. He calls out from work now. He's like, deepfake me in.
Which it means just invite me to where you're going. I don't know what deepfake means. I just think it's a verb.
I don't think you could spell it if you had to.
I can't read.
Didn't they do a Deadpool thing where he was just a brain? One point?
His whole body gets destroyed at one point. It starts from a brain and just builds its way up.
Yeah, he gets like Kamehameha down to atoms and he still comes back. So like, I imagine, you could do something like that.
Just like Spider-Man.
Just like Spider-Man. It's the same thing, kids. It's Spider-Man.
All right. So speaking of bringing things back from the dead, The Matrix is getting a sequel now.
What?
All this time later. The Matrix, by the way, one of the single franchises that has like famously nailed a movie and then done sequels that made people think, I never want to see a sequel for this again. I want it to go die. Like, I want people to be punished and charged for war crimes because of the sequels to The Matrix.
But the first is so good.
They aren't that bad.
No, I know.
There are no fan-four-stick.
Mr. Matrix-6. But I do think it's so ripe, that world that they created and not nailed later, that it totally would make sense to bring it back, especially now. I mean, did you hear this thing that I think it's some ridiculous percentage, like maybe it's most people or some crazy number, do believe we are in a simulation now.
It's a very popular idea, you know. It's one of the many conspiracy. It's one of the conspiracy theory lights that if we could all just stop at believing we're in simulations and go no further down that rabbit hole, we'd probably be okay as a society. Unfortunately, that's a gateway conspiracy theory. There's so many other bad conspiracy theories, so I stay away from it.
Well, what do you believe?
I'm not getting into that here. That's for late night new rock stars. Softcore new rock stars.
Why is it a Cinemax theory? It's like, it's a simulation, and it's just a sexy.
It's a sexy one. We have to have strip poker before I get into that. No, I think the simulation is...
we live in a simulation.
It's very, very popular, unfortunately, or fortunately right now. And it all starts with... I mean, we did our Matrix rewatch, and you know, we found new stuff in it recently. And I wanted to go deeper into this idea how right now in 2019 the ideas presented by the 1999 Matrix are more relevant to today's society far more than they were to 1999 society. So it makes total sense to me that they're rebooting this. Doesn't hurt that Mr. Breathtaking is going to be starring it. Lawrence Fishburne I'm referred to.
But how? That's the thing. Because if you watched the last movie...
Well, they're ignoring them.
They have to be like, okay, that was another layer of the Matrix.
That's my theory, that they're going to like inception it in there. And
let's formalize this theory section.
All right.
What is this movie going to be about? If you remember The Matrix, we're in a simulation, he's the one, and then other movies happen that are crazy.
Right.
Well, there are ninja twins.
And then a game.
Yeah. And well, he dies. He and Trinity both die at the end of the third one. And
but does he?
Does he? A lot of people believe that the real world is just another simulation.
It's gotta be.
But if you were to die in that simulation, you would die in
maybe.
That
and
other
yeah, at the end of it,
one.
They like take him out on some pyre of machines.
Sure. Well, I mean, if he didn't die, then Agent Smith wouldn't have died because he had to die in order to kill the Agent Smith virus. So like he had to let his body.
Well,
Matrix Resurrected.
Let's get this real specific because they're listening, right? The Wachowski. Well, it's just Lana Wachowski. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right?
Just Lana.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Why
have
is it
they
Lily
produced
involved?
Anything separately before?
Sense8? Was that just?
No, Sense8. The second season she directed.
Okay.
Alone, but.
Huh.
Well, okay. So so what's it going to be about? And I'll say Keanu is coming back, and so is Carrie Ann Moss. Keanu is him having his moment right now is probably why this whole thing is coming back. Carrie Ann Moss. It has one character on a show that was canceled, so I'm also not surprised that she came back.
Jessica Jones, she was great in Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah, and the show and it was canceled.
It got longer run than most of the other ones did, right?
Sure, but I guess I'm saying she's not busy. Yeah. So they're both definitely back. We haven't heard about Lawrence Fishburne, who's raking in plenty of Blackish money.
He's
just
gotta
sitting.
Come back.
You know what? My favorite thing in the Variety report about this, they said, it's gonna be starring Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss. No word about how they're gonna handle Lawrence Fishburne, who played Morbius. Previously. So they called him Morbius, also they talked about him as if he was dead, as if they're like, what are they going to do about Morpheus's character? Not only is the character like alive, he's the only one of those three who's alive at the end of this, but also the actor's alive too. It's not like, what are they going to do about Carrie Fisher? Like, how are they going to handle this? Like, the Morpheus one is the one no-brainer of how you bring him back is whoever wrote that Variety
the
article
movie's almost
be fired.
It's got, almost got to be starring him. Like, it's got to start with Morpheus.
It's
almost.
In his head.
Yeah.
Morpheus, or that little weird kid who is there at the sunrise at the end.
Oh,
that's my theory.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
here's my theory. Like, the Matrix gets reset, right? Mm-hmm. The Neo we saw was the sixth anomaly, and we know that past anomalies look just like him. At the end of Matrix Revolutions, a new seventh Matrix is forming, the difference being that humanity is given a choice of whether or not they want to be enslaved. They can be Cypher, or they can have cave orgies, whatever their choice is. But there still is a seventh iteration of the Matrix. The machine haven't been destroyed. There could be a new Thomas Anderson / Neo that gets born into that Matrix and just lives a life the way he lives, or he lives freed, but he has to get dragged back in to solve some other kind of conspiracy that's happening.
So in your version, movie starts, you know, we see green numbers or whatever, so it says the Matrix for Mr. Fanforstick. And then starts in an office setting. And it's Keanu Reeves again, and he has not been awakened yet.
That'd be great. That's one idea. The other idea is it wakes up like Neo does on the Nebuchadnezzar, and he's living in some world, but he looks like badass John Wick Keanu now, and he's just living in Zion or living in the freed world because he couldn't allow himself to get, you know, baked back in. But because, you know, maybe all the humans that they're building or that they're farming still look like they're, you know, maybe they're being cloned, so they are older versions of themselves, and that's why they look the same. That's why recast Keanu as opposed to a new actor. Mm-hmm. They can find some way to justify that. And he's living in the free world, but there's still like a cold war. There's some kind of covert war between the machines and humans. Even though they're in peacetime, it's a cold war, and they're finding sneaky ways to lure people back into the Matrix using like VR escapism, pornography, gaming,
cool.
All that stuff.
I want to spin off of what you're saying right there at the end. Okay, the original films were kind of about the idea of the upcoming singularity, computers kind of taking over. Eventually, computers would be able to have as much intelligence to them as a human brain, and that's obviously just inevitable. And then this started to get people into these crazy ideas of like, what if computers could control our thoughts? Yada yada yada. And that was a very fresh idea at that time. And now, I mean, that idea of kind of being plugged into something is almost what you do when you play VR. So the question is, if you're bringing this back in 2019, the first one was, what, 99, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these years later, what is the new commentary? What is it about? What are you trying to Black Mirror us with, you know?
I think I know. So the whole idea of, like, I'm not going to be political. It might sound like I'm starting there, but I'm not. But the idea of like fake news, the idea of us being utilized with our outrage in order to sell things and to distract from really important life stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of about that, because it's this whole smoke and mirrors thing is sort of the essence of it. And I think it would be really interesting to see Keanu maybe being tricked, or maybe he's the villain in this one. Maybe he's Agent Smith, because 6-7 iterations in, the machines would kind of understand, I think, by the third time at least, that there's something up, right? And that's why they created Agent Smith. By the time Keanu's character comes along, that could have all been fabricated, and now he's under the assumption he's living as a character who beat everything and is trying to stop someone, but that ends up being the next iteration of somebody trying to stop the Matrix.
Okay. I think I see where you're going. It's insane, so I want to rewind it. And
there's you have to do stuff like that for this to work.
I know, but that is how kind of the Matrix works. You have, I'll say that you dropped it like really simply, like, oh, maybe Keanu is the villain, but you actually mean like that's almost like the twist of it. It's Keanu is back, and he has a mission, but he doesn't realize he's playing right into the machine's fake news, where they have put him against someone. He doesn't realize the person they put him against is the one.
Exactly. So he's the Agent Smith
himself. Mm. Gotcha.
And there is that theory that Agent Smith is truly the one of the Matrix trilogy.
Right.
That
right.
he is the one who joins the Source and threatens the Matrix in a way that Neo is just kind of serving that character's arc.
Because the computers, like, by the time you have as frequent a pattern as that, they would have to have some sort of like realization that they need to start tricking the things that are trying to trick them. You know,
what's interesting is the whole idea of Neo's hero's journey was a narrative that was a trick originally. That's what the architect was explaining, that Neo was an anomaly, and in order to fix this anomaly and keep it on a cycle so they can reboot themselves every time, the Oracle came up with this idea of, what if I sent someone on a hero's journey each iteration of the Matrix? But what she did to screw that up is she created this love angle with Trinity. Then Neo chose love over choosing to restore the system. So that kind of broke the cycle in a way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's going to have to be another layer of trickery. Like they find out, like the way Revolutions ended was, what if humans had a choice? You know, that's what makes humans different from machines, is we can choose. We're not on these preset things. The first Matrix posed a question of, what if humans were slaves to machines?
Right.
The next movie, Matrix 4, could be, what if humans chose to be slaves to machines? Because Matrix ended with a choice. Yeah.
Well,
and what if
say that sentence you just said again about Matrix 4, what it's about, but just process what we all do all day with all our technology.
Yeah. I mean, think, every day we choose to pick up our phones, we choose to plug in, and that's very much an idea that was at the cyberpunk core of the Wachowskis back in the late 90s. And, you know, they went so far with it in their original trilogy. Now they can go way deeper and turn the mirror back on society and be like, we choose to live in simulations. Like, we, you know, this is something, we created this monster. It's not like, you know, AI came in and they lurked in when we weren't looking and took us over.
I think it goes even beyond that, right? I think for the people who think they're living in the real world, they're living in this dystopia. They're fighting against this horrible, like the horrible machines, or they think they are, but maybe that's just like another layer of the Matrix, and the machines are using that to keep people under.
Yeah, I could see that.
Great. Guys, I'm going to say that really went rogue right there at the end, but it all started with James L. McCune, so you get the rogue theory of the episode.
Yeah. Was this for the Santa Claus thing? Is that what it was?
I think so.
I forgot that you came up with that, and I'm taking away the rogue theory
so close
of the episode.
I remember not to talk about
back
Santa.
Instead, rogue questions! These are questions I have not seen, I did not write, and I do not like asking. Ready? The just whatever comes up, guys. All right. The next James Bond movie got a title this week. No Time to Die. Mm. Pitch me your best Bond title.
Quantum of Golden Pussy.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. Question mark.
Nailed it.
Question mark. I had the same thing in my head too, where I was like, you gotta get pussy in there.
The Solace of Death.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
It feels like it'd be it.
Bond takes a vacation.
Yeah.
And it's just him in a bathing suit.
Bond
like
becomes Ernest.
Yeah. It's just him trying not to do it.
Had Baby Bond, too. You would have loved it. Guys, a producer for the Netflix series Daredevil paid $50,000 in an auction for the main costume from the series. What's the one thing from your old job you wish you stole or did steal? I feel like you stole things.
Are you currently stealing things?
Like, I don't know when I'm going to get access to this many staplers and staplers. I didn't take any staples. I was an idiot.
Yeah. He used to work for a surgeon. Ruined him.
They're nice staples.
They're very nice staples
out there. Yeah. Old job, things you'd steal.
I used to, my day job before I got into entertainment stuff was I was customer service for a motorcycle company. I won't say which. Mm-hmm. I was the only person on customer service. And I would just constantly think about if they can handle one person for the entirety of the continent for customer service, I want one of these bikes because they're never going to fail. So I wish I had stolen like a... set up my model. I'm on, but like a bike.
It's a model bike.
Yeah, just a model, like a little. No, like an actual. Because yeah,
I would definitely steal an office chair. They're so weirdly expensive.
Yeah,
and like these are pretty nice. You should think about maybe
making sure
one
that
of
you aren't left alone with them.
Yeah. I'll say that it will fit in my trunk.
I would steal so much of the SourceFed set.
Ooh, yeah,
which they started to give away for free, but then other people had the same idea and stole it first. Guys, the rebooted football league, the XFL, announced this week that their Seattle franchise will be the Dragons, partly inspired by Dungeons and Dragons, which is headquartered in Seattle. What's the dorkiest thing you could use to inspire a sports team name?
They kind of did it. I don't know.
It's like the Pittsburgh Pikachus kind of thing.
Or what about the Jacksonville Natural 20s?
Yeah. So you were on a team called the Natural 20.
It was a pretty dorky team.
Actually, I went to NYU, and our mascot was the Violet. We were the Fighting Violets.
That's precious.
That is the worst thing.
Just
you
the color.
For a sports team. I think it's the flower, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
We didn't have a lot of sports.
You just didn't get all the sports. Not even people playing them. It would have to be something really niche, like something real specific that nobody would really understand at first reference.
Oh yeah, like it's such a random obscure thing.
If it was like the Noonan Kebora Gepaboria, whatever the name of the owl from Ocarina of Time. That was actually Rauru in disguise. Like, if that were... If just something, like, real specific.
I could see the press conference where the guy's, like, sweating, trying to explain. Yeah. He was actually the owl.
Yeah. He was actually a god, but it was in the shape of an owl, and his head would turn upside down.
Take him away, boys. Death Stranding, an upcoming video game... that could have been a Bond name. Death Stranding, an upcoming video game from the creator of Metal Gear Solid, will let your character urinate and then use that as a weapon.
Oh, thank God.
What video game would most benefit from urine as weapons?
Of all the things.
I don't know. Red Dead? I don't know if Red Dead Redemption would, because like they're all covered in urine anyway.
Yeah. Constantly. But if in Mario Kart, you can make a spill happen, they're covered in stink.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It stinks.
I have to go shower.
Somebody ate asparagus.
Yeah, the Rainbow Road, just all the yellow bars are just like urine spills.
It's like an oil slick in Sonic, but just...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sonic would be hilarious. Can you imagine how strong his stream would be
to have to like fight against the wind of his running.
While he's running. Sonic's just
covered in urine.
Well, he's going at the speed of light when he's supersonic. So if he's peeing, this is a good, we have to get into the quantum theory of how he would piss forward while being supersonic.
Well, isn't that what they're doing the VFX retouching on, is just some piss?
We have to make sure
teeth to his pee.
What I want to see, no. This brings up a bigger problem, because you have Knuckles, who is an echidna. Echidnas have four penis heads.
Guys, that's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Thanks so much for going rogue with us, everyone. Thank you so much to our guests. James Allen McCune, where can we find you?
You can find me on every social media platform as J Allen MC, JALLENMC. I have a YouTube channel under my name, James Allen McCune, and a Patreon and that sort of thing.
Awesome. Great. And also, you'll finish on your Patreon for people who pay $10 or more. You'll find out what those four penis heads do. Each one is different.
I will give you one. The higher tier you go up, you get four tiers.
Yeah, yeah.
You will literally get one in the mail.
It's expensive, but worth it.
Guys, Matt BB, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MTBEEBE.
Matipa.
And if you're in LA, the first Wednesday of every month at the West Side Comedy Theater, got a sketch show, Back Alley Racket Club.
Awesome. Great. I'll check you out there. And then, Eric, where can we find you? What do we have going on this week?
On Instagram and Twitter at EAVoss. And on the channel, we have some interesting videos coming out. We're going to be doing a deep dive into The Matrix and specifically what happens in the second two Matrix movies to set up this next one and why they could be doing it. Some of the stuff we've been talking about here. D23 is happening right now, so maybe by the time you're watching this, you've seen some trailers come out. We know there's going to be one for The Mandalorian, maybe some stuff about some of the Marvel stuff. We will be breaking that down next week. We got another video looking at Doctor Strange's mindset, because according to the Russo brothers, that guy lived through 14,605 different futures, and that means his mind is over 2,000 years old. So what does that do to the human psyche, and how can that set up Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? We got a whole video about that. I'm really excited for you guys to see.
Also, you once did a video about if Cars, in the movie Cars.
Right. We have not talked about
if there's a Hitler in
if
it.
If Cars exists. Yeah. If there is a World War II in the Cars universe.
Yeah. But there is.
Think about it.
Then is there a Cars Hitler?
Is there a Cars Hitler?
I just want people to get the full spectrum of.
Would Hitler be an Audi? Would he be?
It would run well, certainly.
It'd be an Austrian car, probably, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But it blows itself out. I don't know, guys. Do not forget to subscribe. We're gonna cut that.
Is
anyway.
The gun sentient?
No, please don't.
Is the gun sentient? Does the gun have eyes?
Another question about how cars do it. They blow themselves out.
Cars have four penises. Fun fact. Guys, don't forget to subscribe to the Rogue Theory podcast feed. It comes out before the video does. Stay tuned to the YouTube channel for all of those things and also that Cars Hitler video. Guys, follow us on Twitter at New Rockstars. Follow me at Philip Molina on Instagram or Twitter. I just got real terrible stuff in my head now about what's true in the Cars universe. I got to go rewatch that.
Cars verse.
How do they procreate?